Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the ICC Holdings Incorporated third quarter 2017 earnings conference. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we'll conduct a question and answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance, please press star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this call may be recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Julia Suter of ICC Holdings Incorporated.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and welcome to ICC Holdings, Inc.'s discussion of our 2017 third quarter financial results. By now, hopefully all of you have seen our earnings release. If not, you may access these documents on our website, ir.iccholdingsinc.com. With us on this afternoon's call are Aaron Sutherland, our President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mike Smith, our Chief Financial Officer. Following Aaron's and Mike's remarks about our quarterly results, we will open the call up for your questions. Before turning it over to Aaron, however, I would like to advise everyone that during this call, there may be forward-looking statements and references to non-GAAP financial measures. Any forward-looking statements involve risks and uncertainties that may cause actual results to differ materially from the statements made during this call. Information concerning those risks is contained in the earnings release and in ICC Holdings, Inc.'s most recent 10-Q and 10-K on file with the SEC. In addition, the forward-looking statements speak only as of today, Thursday, November 16, 2017. ICC Holdings, Inc. expressly disclaims any obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements made during this call. Regarding non-GAAP measures, reconciliations to the most comparable GAAP measures and other information have also been provided in the financial supplement. Finally, this call is being recorded. During the next week, the call may be accessed on ICC Holdings, Inc.'s website. With that, I will now turn the call over to ICC Holdings, Inc.'s President and CEO, Aaron Sutherland.
Thank you, Julia. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to share our third quarter results with you this afternoon. The company continued to experience unfavorable property results in the third quarter, leading to a net loss for the quarter. The primary driver for these losses was continued Midwest storm activity and an unusually high level of restaurant fire claims. Despite continued soft market conditions, the company continues to produce positive top-line growth. This increase in premium is driven by the addition of Colorado, combined with continued strong organic production in both Minnesota and Missouri. As our recent geographic expansion builds momentum, we expect premium growth to continue to improve for the remainder of 2017. The company is committed to growth through geographic expansion, with entry into Michigan planned to occur in the first half of 2018. In terms of losses, the company has seen an increase in both the frequency and severity of property claims. The company continues to do statistical analysis in order to identify a common root cause of the unprecedented fire activity. To date, no such common cause appears to exist. Additionally, both underwriting and loss control processes have been enhanced in an attempt to identify and reduce this exposure and return to historical loss levels. Offsetting these results, the company has generated profit in both its liquor liability and worker compensation lines of business. The company's core strengths of specialized products, niche focus, and superior service, combined with a committed agency force, are keys to long-term growth and profitability. The company continues to maintain underwriting discipline and sustainable pricing. In doing so, we expect to grow and achieve a profitable future. With that, let me make a few high-level comments on our third quarter financial results, and then Mike will provide additional detail. Net earnings were $265,000, or 8 cents per share, for the 9 months ended September 30, 2017. This is compared to $1,586,000 for the same period in 2016. Our combined ratio was 104.8 and 96.3 for the 9 months ended September 30, 2017 and 2016, respectively. With that, I will turn it over to Mike Smith, our Chief Financial Officer, to discuss the financial results in greater detail.
Thanks, Aaron. Good afternoon, everyone. The decrease in net earnings to $265,000 from $1,586,000 for the first 9 months of 2017 compared to the same period in 2016 was a result of increased expenses for the year. Losses and settlement expenses increased $2.8 million to $21.5 million from $18.7 million, or 15%, for the first 9 months. The increase in losses and settlement expenses, as Aaron mentioned, is primarily due to the increase in fire losses, higher retention on property, and increased storm activity. Also contributing to the decrease in net earnings was an increase in policy acquisition costs and other operating expenses. Policy acquisition costs and other operating expenses increased by $1 million, or 8.5%, for the first 9 months of 2017, compared to the same period in 2016. The increase is primarily driven by the additional costs associated with operating as a public company as a result of the initial public offering, which was completed in the first quarter of 2017. Direct premiums written grew by 6.2% and 3.5% for the 3 months and 9 months ended September 30, 2017, respectively, as compared to the same period of 2016. Net premiums earned grew by 3.2% and 3.3% for the third quarter and first 9 months of 2017. Net investment income grew $416,000, or 29%, for the first 9 months of 2017 compared to the same period in 2016. Net investment income increased by $25,000, or 3.8%, during the third quarter of 2017 as compared to the same period in 2016. The growth in net investment income is primarily from the increases in the size of the available-for-sale securities portfolio as a result of the funds received from the initial public offering. Total assets increased by 25.4% from $122,160,000 at December 31, 2016 to $153,159,000 at September 30, 2017. As a result of the initial public offering completed during the first quarter of 2017. Our investment portfolio, which consists of fixed maturity securities, common stocks, preferred stocks, and property held for investment, increased 37.9% from $76,122,000 at December 31, 2016 to $104,955,000 at September 30, 2017. The increase in invested assets was again a result of deploying the net proceeds received from the completed initial public offering. At September 30, 2017, shareholders' equity was $63,741,000, and book value per share was $20.14. With that, I'll turn it back to Aaron for some final comments before we open up for questions.
Thank you, Mike. Before we move to the question and answer portion of the call, I'd like to leave everyone with some summary points. Despite the current soft market conditions, the company expects to continue growth in current states while pursuing further geographic expansion. The company will maintain a focus on the food and beverage niche while exploring additional opportunities for niche expansion. The company is working to address the high property losses. To date, no identifiable pattern or underwriting weakness has been identified. This appears to be a short-term and one-off issue, not the beginning of a long-term trend. With a return to historical property loss levels and continued profitability in the liability lines of business, the company does believe it is positioned for improved operating results long term. The company continues to maintain a strong balance sheet, including adequate reserves. The low leverage position of the company creates a solid financial base for the planned growth. At this point, we are ready for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star followed by the number one key on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered, or if you'd like to remove your line from the queue, you may press the pound key. Again, if you do have a question, please press star and then one at this time. And we'll pause one moment for any questions. And I show a question from the line of Gary Ribe with Macro Consulting. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for taking my questions. I guess my first question, you guys are obviously newly public and everything, and you raised quite a bit of capital in the conversion. With your expansion strategy, can you just give me a sense of how much you could underwrite on your current capital base?
Sure. With the target we keep internally is we feel very comfortable writing up to a 1.5 to 1 on a net leverage basis. So if we keep things simple at $60 million of capital, I would expect to be able to write on a net basis $90 million of premium, and that would obviously translate into a slightly higher premium number on a gross basis, depending on how much we offlay for reinsurance on that. Does that answer your question, Gary?
Very much so. Thank you. And I guess just historically, I know you had some noise in this quarter. You know, if we're looking at a combined ratio for your business, is it kind of like a mid-90s level target? Is that kind of where we should expect that to shake out over time?
I would say with the comment I made about historical, when our property losses run at their historical levels, and when you look at liability results of the last couple of years, we've been able to run in that mid-90s, that 95-96 combined range for the last couple years. So that's where I would see with things smoothing out that we can achieve that. I don't, with our business model, I don't see we attempt to not have large spikes up, or do I really foresee significantly below that. So we try to run into a fairly tight band around that combined ratio area.
Okay, got it. That makes sense. And then just in terms, you know, as you grow over time, you've got a lot of excess capital now. Would you anticipate the priority being to retain that within the business? Or I believe you guys have a small repurchase program in place. How does the priority kind of shake out as you guys look at it?
Yes, our board of directors has approved a $3 million buyback. No specific plans for that are set. It's there available for use if it makes sense for the company. For the 3-year horizon from the IPO, in the S-1 we laid out, we have some standby investors that we feel are committed partners for that 3-year period. And then what I would say is after that is when the company can assess how to go moving forward as more stock becomes available on the market. So we feel it's very stable for the first few years here for the short term, and then long term the company will make a decision at that time.
Got it. Okay. And then when you factor in kind of like your investment portfolio and kind of your target and the combined ratio, that shakes out to like maybe a 10% return on equity if I'm kind of doing my math. Is that kind of the target that you guys are writing to?
Long term, the target has always been an 8 to 10% return, obviously
okay.
Subject to the interest rates and what we can get on the investment side.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I understand. I appreciate you answering the questions in a very, very straightforward way. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. And as a reminder, if you do have a question, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. One moment for any additional questions. And I have a question from the line of Jimmy Baker with GAMCO Investors. Your line is open.
Hi, Mike and Aaron. I just have a question for you. I know that the book value figure you gave, 2014, that's based on the current shares issued. And I think on the last call you mentioned that you'd be issuing the shares that are held in the ESOP early next year. And so when you include those shares out, the book value is closer to something around $18. I just wanted to double check on how that worked. Thank you.
So the ESOP shares get released, I won't say exactly evenly over the next 15 years, but by and large, they will be released ratably between this year and the next 14 years. So I think what you'll see is our weighted average outstanding will grow each year because of the ESOP shares that are released, but that's only 23,000 or so shares per year. So at some point, yeah, our earnings, our weighted average shares will rise up to the 3.5 million, but it will not be next year. at least not from the ESOP's perspective. So I hope that helps.
Okay. All right. Very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. And that concludes our question and answer session for today. I'd like to turn the floor back over to Aaron Sutherland for any closing comments.
Thank you. I'd just like to say thank you to everyone for joining us on our call today. We look forward to doing these calls in the future and appreciate your taking your time and your attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This concludes today's program. You may all disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.